What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Locked On Chargers. We have a lot to get into on today's show. No major news, but we do have a couple of snippets that we want to talk about. First, we're going to start with Denzel Perryman and Mike Williams being named the Pro Football Focus Players of the Week. They had the two highest single game grades of the week, so we're going to shout those guys out. And we also have a list of the top vote getters in the NFL Pro Bowl race. So there is one familiar name on there that we have to get to. You could probably guess who it is. His brother is also on the list, if that doesn't make it obvious for you enough. But then we're going to do what we do every single week and get into our keys for success. So we're going to start with the Chargers defense and then move into the Chargers offense to wrap up the show. So we'll get into that. But first, let's go ahead and get started, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The news of the day is that Pro Football Focus came out with their list of the highest game grades from the last game against the Broncos, and the two highest graded players this week were Denzel Perryman on the defensive side of the ball and Mike Williams on the offensive side of the ball. If you're not familiar with Pro Football Focus, they go in and grade every single player on every team, every single game. So it's a really good resource to have because they are watching every play and grading every player. So this week, Denzel Perryman took it home for the defense with a 94.6 game grade, which is just ridiculous. He was targeted only once out of his six coverage snaps and came up with an interception. He also had a total of four tackles as well to go along with that. And Denzel Perryman was really good. The interception definitely helps him get this, but he was the highest graded player in the entire NFL last week. So for a guy like Denzel Perryman, especially who's not known for his coverage ability, that is huge for him, especially with how much work he's been putting in to be an impact linebacker for this team, who has really struggled at the position at times this year. And then Mike Williams comes up with the best grade for this game against the Broncos. He ends up with an 86.5, bringing in five catches for 117 yards, including the big 52-yard catch and run. Pro Football Focus also notes that he averages 20.5 yards per catch this season, which is the highest in the NFL. So, David, for two guys who still have a lot to prove, this is a pretty cool thing for them to be able to take home this week.
I mean, absolutely. It's huge for Denzel Perryman. Wow. I mean, the highest graded player in the NFL, not just on defense, not offense, but the entire NFL. That's huge praise for Denzel Perryman, and I think it'll be a good boost of confidence for him, although it is a small sample size. I mean, you still have to take that into account. I mean, that's an impressive grade to earn from Pro Football Focus. I mean, they don't hand those out lightly. And then, of course, Mike Williams. Anytime the Chargers have needed a big play or Phillip Rivers has needed the big play, he's going at number 81. And Mike Williams, more times than not, especially lately, has come up with that football and provided those big spectacular splash plays that the Chargers have needed to get back into a lot of these ball games. So that recognition of that high caliber play that he's been putting forth on the field, especially dealing with injuries throughout the year, it's definitely really good for Mike Williams, and it's going to be good for his confidence. And hopefully both of these guys are going to be able to finish strong this season and take that momentum into next year.
Yeah, of course. I mean, for Mike Williams, a guy who was picked in the top 10 of the NFL draft and picked before Patrick Mahomes, he still has a lot to prove. So that's big for him. And Denzel Perryman, I mean, Joey Bosa barely has a 90 grade on Pro Football Focus. Denzel Perryman got a 94.6, and it's just one game, but for him, I can't imagine many things cooler than that because he has been picked on at times this year. But the other thing I want to get to is getting into the leaders in the NFL Pro Bowl voting. We have a list here from Pro Football Rumors that just has the leader in all categories for every position for the AFC and the NFC in the Pro Bowl. And there is a familiar name on here because Joey Bosa is leading all defensive ends in the AFC with over 183,000 votes. His brother Nick is actually leading the NFC in the same vote for defensive ends, which is pretty damn cool. But that is the only Charger on the list. Maybe this is not a very surprising thing, just because it's just the number one vote getter at every position, and the Chargers, with their record, I mean, are not going to get the recognition to have guys up there. And Derwin James is another guy that pops into your mind of a guy that would probably be on there if he was healthy. But David, there are a couple more guys that, even if they might not be the leading vote getters, should be able to at least have a legitimate claim at a Pro Bowl spot.
Yeah, no, I think there are at least three or four players on the Chargers that have had seasons that warrant a Pro Bowl selection. I think Keenan Allen has been his spectacular self again, pulling in a lot of receptions and always keeping the chains moving, getting into the end zone more this season. I think Casey Hayward has quietly been one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL and has not received the praise or appreciation that I think he justly deserves. And a couple of guys on special teams that have made impact plays all season long, like Derek Watt with his great open field tackles and Drew Tranquil blocking two punts, almost blocking a third. Those guys have changed games. And also, I mean, I think you highlight Austin Ekeler. I mean, 10 total touchdowns, over 1,000 scrimmage yards up to this point in the season with four more games to go to pad those stats. I think Austin Ekeler just hasn't gotten the appreciation or spotlight that he, I think, has earned. He's been simply one of the best offensive players in the NFL this season.
He has, and unfortunately there's no position for him labeled on the Pro Bowl voting, like just an offensive skill player, because that's really what he is. He impacts the game running the football and catching balls out of the backfield, and more notably catching the balls out of the backfield. And there's just no pass-catching running back, so he's just getting put up against guys like Dalvin Cook and Nick Chubb and Christian McCaffrey, and the list goes on and on. A lot of really talented running backs. The same with wide receivers, because there are so many talented wide receivers in the NFL that it's pretty hard for a guy like Keenan Allen, without ridiculous numbers, to necessarily make it. I still think he could, but Casey Hayward, I think just the lack of interceptions, that's holding him back. His play has been stellar. Obviously, he's coming off of maybe his worst game of the season, but Casey Hayward absolutely deserves some of that appreciation as well. But there's a lot of time to go. Things can still change, but there's one thing we know: there will be players representing the Chargers when the Pro Bowl rolls around. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to start with our keys for success defensively against the Jaguars before getting into our keys for success offensively, more importantly, coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into what we do every single week, getting into our keys for success. And this week, we're going to start with what the Chargers need to do defensively to find success in this game this weekend against the Jaguars and Gardner Minshew. So there's many things to look at when you're talking about the Chargers defense, but the one thing I'm going to start with is just how good this Chargers defense has been over the last four games. I mean, they've been pretty much the best defense in the NFL as far as giving up yards. A lot of that has to do with, you know, hey, Phillip Rivers has turned the ball over and given them a lot of short fields and things like that. But over the last four games, the Chargers have only allowed 247.5 total yards of offense per game. And the number one team in the league right now for the season is the San Francisco 49ers, allowing 250. Just to give you an idea of how good they've been over the last few games. I mean, especially holding the Packers offense to 184 yards. The Broncos had less than 220. Even holding the Chiefs to 310 was a win that day, and they did more than enough to get a Chargers win, except for, you know, all of the turnovers by Phillip Rivers. But for me, I want to start with just the Chargers keeping up with what they've been doing defensively. They've been really good over the past month. And for me, David, I think they need to stick with it and find a way to keep that success going.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the defense has been great. They're definitely not the reason why the Chargers are at where they're at right now. I think a lot of that has to do with the offense and their miscues. But on the defense, for me, you know, for keys to success, there's two guys on that Jacksonville Jaguars offense that you're really going to have to try to erase and are going to be focal points on in their passing game and their running game. In the passing game, it's DJ Chark. DJ Chark's had a great year, guys. I mean, 881 yards receiving, 8 touchdowns. I mean, He's got a 69-yard touchdown as his long on the year. So not only is he a red zone threat, but, I mean, he can take it the distance, too. I mean, he's averaging over 15 yards per catch. So got to try to erase him. I would imagine Casey Hayward's probably going to be plastering DJ Chark in this one. And then, of course, you know, it's going to be Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette has had also a great year. I mean, 989 yards. I mean, given, you know, him just absolutely imploding in this one, he's going to go over 1,000 on the season, and he's got a 4.5 yard per carry average. So, I mean, he's been productive all year long. I think those are the two guys that the Chargers defense are going to have to focus in on and try to erase at all costs.
Yeah, and Leonard Fournette is a guy that he's either really good or he's really bad for the most part. I mean, you mentioned the season that he's having, but he also has games against the Bucs where he went 14 for 38, or against the Colts, 8 for 23, the Texans, 11 for 40. So he is, you know, has one huge game, 29 for 225 yards against the Broncos, but he can be stopped. I mean, he's had less than 50 yards in four games already this year, so he can be stopped. And I think that one of the big things with him, of course, is going to be tackling. He is a big load to take down. He can, once he gets going, kind of like Derrick Henry, make some DBs have to chase him and not be able to catch him on a big play. But with a lot of these guys, the key is always if you can get to him before he starts going and you can gang tackle, have people hitting him in the backfield and really stop his feet and let the rest of your team rally to him, you can have success against him. DJ Chark is a guy who's kind of come out of nowhere to become one of the better receivers in the NFL, but he's been inconsistent as well. And one thing with this Jaguars offense, John, that I know me and you talked about is they like to spread the wealth. They have a lot of pretty good receivers, none that are, you know, number one receivers necessarily. DJ Chark is the closest one, but they have a lot of auxiliary pieces that they like to use to have success in the passing game as well.
Yes, yeah, so most of these guys will not stick out to you. I like to say it's like a group of no names that are really productive. Basically, there's guys like D.D. Westbrook, who has been shown to convert third downs for this team. There's also a guy like Chris Conley. They've got receivers that you're not going to sit there and go, oh, I know that guy. You're going to probably have to think about it a little bit, but they are productive. They get the job done. No one out there is going to be that flashy Antonio Brown and Julio Jones type of numbers, but they get enough in the stat game and in the football game, really, to get the job done. But I think this game is going to really be won in the defensive line area. You're going to have to keep Gardner Minshew in the pocket and make him make the great passes. When he gets outside the pocket, it gives him better passing lanes, and he will extend the play. And this Jaguars team rallies around him, kind of like what Tim Tebow was like back in the Bronco days. When Tebow just got on the field, the team was already better because now they were ready and wanted to play and were hyped up. Whereas Nick Foles was going to be in this game, the Jaguars might have rolled over and played dead. So Minshew being in the game is going to hype up this Jaguars team, but he also gives them a better outside-the-pocket ability. And if you can keep him in the pocket, you have a better chance at stopping him with these type of receivers.
And he has a tendency to hold on to the ball, too. And when he does hold on to the ball, the Chargers have to punish him. And the Jacksonville Jaguars have given up a lot of sacks this year, and the Chargers are going to have to get some of those in this one.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're talking about the defense. It starts with getting pressure up front, and last week getting zero sacks on Drew Lock came a lot from, you know, him just getting out some really quick passes, and he made some good passes under pressure to convert third downs, but you still have to get the quarterback on the ground. And I think that goes to John's point where you're going to get chances on him. He does hold on to the football, but we have no faith in the Chargers that they're going to consistently stick to those pass rush lanes and collapse the pocket instead of just getting, you know, independent pressure at different spots of the line and opening up those running lanes, which is what we talked about before with Gardner Minshew, is he likes to run the football too. So if you give him those open rushing lanes, he is going to take them. So yes, getting pressure, bringing him down, getting sacks is going to be a huge key this week because he can get out of the pocket and he's very dangerous once he's out there. And the one thing you are getting with Gardner Minshew is that fight from the rest of the team, because under Nick Foles in those games that he started, the Jaguars were 0-4. And with Gardner Minshew, they've been 4-4. So, I mean, there's also some pretty bad Gardner Minshew games in there as well, which led them to go back to Nick Foles. I mean, it was Gardner Minshew played bad, and then it's like, okay, Nick Foles can have his job back. And then Nick Foles comes out and plays bad, and then now it's back to Gardner Minshew. So I like all of that. But another thing I want to hit on defensively. And a huge thing, John, that the Chargers always need to focus on is getting off of the field on third down. And this week they have no excuse because the Jaguars are 24th in the NFL in converting on third down. Only 35% of the time are they converting those third downs into first down conversions. And they've gone for it 16 times on fourth down this year and only converted 6 of those attempts. So with this Chargers defense, the one thing we have seen is, you know, letting other teams get into third and one or third and two to make it really easy for them to get conversions. With this team, you want to get them off track, get them into those second and 12s, get them into those third and 8s. And if you do that, there's no reason the defense shouldn't get off the field because this is not a good offense at converting third downs or fourth downs for that matter.
Yeah, they're not really good at converting third downs. If they do convert third down, it's usually to D.D. Westbrook. So if you shut him down, that's usually their go-to third down target. Shut him down and make him throw to somewhere else. But as you mentioned, you got to get them into the second and long or the third and seven, something that makes it harder for them to convert. And it goes back to your point of you have to tackle Leonard Fournette before he gets going. Get into the backfield and get him before his wheels start going, and you can make it into that second and 12 or second and 11. And then the very next play, if you're getting pressure on Minshew, it could be a quick pass or an incomplete pass, making third and 7 or third and 12. And then after that, the Chargers have no excuse at all for getting off the field on that third down. If they're letting the Jaguars convert these third downs, it is all on the Chargers defensive coordinator for not getting those stops, that you are not setting up this team for success to get off of a third and long multiple times in a game.
Exactly. And there's really no excuse for this Chargers defense who, as we see it right now, they didn't really lose anyone last week. So we should still be seeing that pretty healthy Chargers defense out there. And the one thing, now that you have all these guys back on the field, is fixing the communication errors that happened last week. I mean, there just seemed to be times last week where the Chargers defense just wasn't on the same page. I mean, most notably on a third and 12, that ended up being a big drop pass. And most people won't remember it because it didn't end up hurting the Chargers. But those are the type of things that are going to hurt you in this game. And for the Chargers defense, with a quarterback like Gardner Minshew, how are you going to do when the play breaks down? Are you going to be able to stick with those receivers, find somebody to guard when the play breaks down, when Gardner Minshew gets out of the pocket? Can you stick with your man and take away those really easy throws? Because at some point in the game, he's going to get loose. It's just how he plays. He's a backyard football type player. So how are you going to respond in those situations? But when it comes to this Chargers defense, you know that you have to do two things. I mean, you have to eliminate the easy passes that lead to second and two, 8-yard passes on first down with soft coverage. If you can take those away, get them off track and make them try to convert those third and longs, I don't think it's going to be good for this Jaguars offense. But at the same time, it's going to come down to if the Chargers are going to tackle the ball carrier once they have it in their hands. We saw much better effort last week with Derwin James and Adrian Phillips, both making tackles to save first downs at points in that game. So that has already helped this team. Drew Tranquil, you're looking for another big game out of him. A lot of short passes that he's going to have to get out there and make tackles on. All of those things are going to be huge factors. But if this Jaguars offense beats this defense, it's going to be because the Chargers defense didn't execute, not because you're seeing something really good from the Jaguars offense. They should have success in this game. And if it's anything like the past month, I think that they will. But we do have to get into the keys for success offensively coming up right after this. But I need to tell you guys that if you're going to bet on any sports this season, especially football, there's only one place to do it, and that's with our sponsor, MyBookie. Are you the type of fan who knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all of your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain, nothing helps a 4-8 season like the Chargers have right now than by having some action on the games. It makes them the most exciting games you've ever watched, even if it's Giants versus the Redskins. When you have a little bit of money on it, that game is that much more exciting. And the best part about MyBookie is right now, they will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you put in $2,000 right now, MyBookie will give you an extra $3,000 to bet with today. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. All you have to do is visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys. Well, now it's time to get into the more concerning part of the field for the Chargers, and that is the Chargers offense, because there's nobody in the NFL that is better than beating themselves than this Chargers offense when it comes to penalties, negative plays, costly turnovers, and just really dumb mistakes. That's what we're worried about with the Chargers. How is this offense going to perform against a Jaguars defense that has been underwhelming so far this year? But it still has a lot of very talented players on that defense. I mean, Calais Campbell, Yannick Ngakoue, AJ Bouye, DJ Hayden's been really good for them at corner this year. They have a lot of pieces. So even though they have given up some yards and points defensively this year, it's still a defense that can absolutely get this Chargers offense off track, John. And for me, where it starts and where it has to be in this game is this Chargers offensive line and how they're going to hold up against this defensive line, which is really talented for the Jaguars.
Yes, this Jaguars defensive line is really good and is going to give us a really, really hard day. But behind that defensive line is not really the greatest players when it comes to playing defense. So if you can get the ball out quick, you can make things happen. As long as the defensive line is not a factor in this game, you can win this game. So that means some quick passes or maybe getting the screen routes going, getting the ball out to the running backs, something that makes the ball out of Rivers' hands quick. If you try to develop plays that take a while, it's going to be a long day for you. This defensive line will make you pay. So for the Chargers offense, it's going to be like quick slants to Keenan Allen, the hook route to Hunter Henry, or even any route to Hunter Henry, really. He should have a field day with this team. But also, it's going to be running the ball because their linebackers aren't that great, and they're like 28th in the league, I believe, in stopping the run. Melvin Gordon should have a field day on this team, and when he does, you need to stick with it, not move away from him. He almost had 100 yards last week. If he's having that same kind of day, stick with it and ride it out like you did in the pack.
Yeah, the Jaguars have given up the sixth most rushing yards in the league to opponents. Opponents have rushed the ball 258 times for 1,364 yards and 12 touchdowns. So absolutely, John, run all day long.
Yeah, and the Chargers over their last four games have been very effective running the football. In the last four games, they've had 513 rushing yards. The four games before that, they didn't eclipse 40 rushing yards. So to say that this Chargers run offense has been better over the last month is understating it. They have been really good, but like you guys said, they don't always stick with it. I mean, the Chiefs, they only ran the ball 18 times for 93 yards. That's a pretty good average to stop running the football. I mean, if you tell me Melvin Gordon has 7 carries for 55 yards in the second half against the Broncos, that just tells me he hasn't had enough carries. I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. And they've been good over the last few games. Especially, I mean, Packers game, they ran it 35 times for 159 yards. The Raiders, 30 times for 146 yards. The Broncos, 29 times for 115 yards. They've been pretty committed to the running game, and that has to go with this Chargers offense for them to have success, especially when that is the weak point of the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. It's double-teaming guys like Yannick Ngakoue at the point of the attack, double-teaming Calais Campbell, who is still one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL, at the point of attack and making those linebackers come up and make tackles on the running back. And when you're talking about this specifically, guys, is why aren't we using more play action? One of the best ways that you can neutralize a defensive line is by running hard play action fakes. I know Phillip Rivers doesn't move around that well, but it doesn't really matter. When you look up play action in the NFL, it almost doesn't even really matter how much you're running the football. When you run play action, you bring those linebackers up, who in this case are very inexperienced and are two of the lowest graded linebackers per Pro Football Focus. I mean, they've been injured at the position, but Quincy Williams has a coverage grade of 35.7. I mean, Donald Payne has a coverage grade of 28.8. If that is a mismatch right there, I don't know what is. And the best way to exploit that is by using the play action, sucking up those linebackers, neutralizing that defensive line, and finding easy passes over the middle to a guy like Hunter Henry. And he is going to be so important this week, David. There's no possible way that he can have a game like he did last week, catching only two passes for 10 yards.
Yeah, no, one of my notes is get Henry involved early and often. I mean, I think he's at his best when he gets introduced into the game plan early, gets some receptions, gets comfortable, gets his confidence going, gets his confidence with Phillip Rivers going. Phillip Rivers gets confidence in him. And then I think he performs way better throughout the course of the game. I think when they don't go to him early, they kind of forget about him, which is something you should never do. I think he's always open. And in this game, especially with against those linebackers, there's going to be a lot of opportunities. But before I get into the other point about Hunter Henry, I have to say this. Start fast and get a lead, please. That's one of the biggest keys for me on offense is the Chargers, and obviously every team in the league, are better when they get a lead and they can continue to pile it on. The Chargers too often this season have fallen behind greatly by two scores most of the time, and they're having to dig themselves out. I want the Chargers to be the one in the lead and be able to establish dominance and enact their game plan instead of playing against the opponent's game plan. I want them to impose their will. Now, going back to Hunter Henry, and I'm going to include Mike Williams in this, you need to target Hunter Henry and Mike Williams in the red zone. They need touchdowns. The red zone offense has been terrible. You need to target two of your more sure-handed, big-body receivers in the red zone so you can start turning those three-point plays, those field goals, into touchdowns. The Chargers have to be better in the red zone, and involving those two guys are going to help you improve immediately.
Yeah, unless the target in the red zone is throwing some sort of wide receiver screen pass to Mike Williams where it has nothing to do with his 6'4" body. I mean, right, like that, so questionable when you see the play calling in the Chargers for the Chargers in the red zone. And when, of course, when you're talking about what the Chargers need to do offensively, scoring touchdowns in the red zone is one of the top things for the Chargers, because even last week, both of the touchdowns came from 30-plus yards. When they got in there, they had to settle for a field goal. And that you just can't do it. But I think what this game is going to entail, as it has over the last month and a half, is how far Phillip Rivers gets you is going to be how far you get offensively. If Phillip Rivers is out there turning the ball over and you give that offense easy possessions where they can easily score points like you did last week, where you had two drives for the other team start inside of your 25-yard line, that's absolutely the last thing that can happen. So for the Chargers, ball security is number one on this list. The Chargers could have an average game offensively and not turn the ball over, and they will win this game, hands down. But it's going to come down to Phillip Rivers once again, who is still on the hot seat, not turning the ball over for this Chargers offense to have success. And that also goes with, I mean, special teams, not muffing punts. You didn't think that would be very hard, not missing field goals. But John, especially going up against this team specifically, you cannot make those mistakes in turning the ball over and giving this offense of the Jaguars good field position. You can't bail out that Jaguars defense by doing it. And the Jaguars defense is good enough to take the ball away a couple times. So Phillip Rivers and the rest of this Chargers team has to have ball security at number one on their priority list.
Yes, you have to control the ball and not give the Jaguars any momentum or any confidence, really. When they come into this game, if you can hit them in the mouth quick and just calm them down, you can take the confidence right out of them and make it an easier day for you. But all you got to do is turn the ball over a couple of times and give Gardner Minshew and this offense just a little bit of easiness to getting a touchdown, and they will ride it. They will be hyped up. They will fly all over the field and make you pay for it. And that's what the Broncos were doing. When Drew Lock got a couple of touchdowns, they felt a lot more confident, and they started flying around the field making plays until the Chargers started catching up. And when they started catching up, the Broncos players started to, like, calm down, and they weren't flying around the field as much. If you could do that this week in the first quarter, no turnovers, just hit them in the mouth, you could take away their confidence and win this game handedly. But like you said, wait, the turnovers have to stop. Even if it's in like the 50-yard line area and you throw an interception and it's like a punt, it's still going to give the other team confidence. This week is going to be no fumbles, no interceptions. Be productive. And if you have to punt the ball, punt the ball.
Yeah, and make your field goals when you can. I mean, starting the other team off of a missed field goal with that kind of field position is always going to be a boost for that offense and for that defense, allowing 0 points on that drive. I mean, the last thing you want to do with this team is let them stay in the game. So the last couple of things I want to touch on is, I mean, we're talking keys for success offensively. So I'm going to say Austin Ekeler, Austin Ekeler, Austin Ekeler, Austin Ekeler, Austin Ekeler. Just so, I mean, we know that he was mentioned in this segment. I mean,
can you
he
say
could
one
have
more time, please?
Austin Eckler should have a field day against these linebackers. Make them come up and make tackles. Make those safeties come up and make tackles in open space. Austin Eckler should be ridiculous in this game if he gets the touches. So we need Austin Eckler to get touches in the passing game. Even if he has to play wide receiver the entire game, he would be 1,000 times more productive than the Chargers' third string wide receiver, who to this game still have zero production since the loss of Travis Benjamin. What the hell?
No. There was Andre Patton, I think, made a catch in the last game.
The point remains the same. As far as production goes, that third wide receiver position has been so little that I would be good with having Austin Eckler out there as the third wide receiver on all passing sets.
If that's I do it in a heartbeat.
To get him the touches. Getting Austin Eckler the ball in space is going to be the best thing for this Chargers offense. And at the end of the day, you have to always be able to give Phillip Rivers enough time in the pocket to be able to make things happen and have good game plans that realize that your offensive line probably will not be able to hold up against this defensive line and game plan accordingly. And that's really all you can ask for. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until tomorrow, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers. We'll also be getting into some voicemails. We might be full if you guys want to get your voicemails in. Call into 323-524-7924. We might be able to squeeze another one in. But we'll be back tomorrow with that and also our game and bold predictions. If you don't already, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.